Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Thank you, British Lady, for the introduction to us here, Pop Culture Stars. Good evening. Hope everybody listening is doing well. Better than good. 4/11/17/21. So, as I leave Atwell Manor to go out back, open up a cold malt beverage, and light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars. I'm going to introduce our most esteemed panel, as I do every week. So starting off, as I tease, in the middle of nowhere, the fine state of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster, how are you doing this evening, young lady?
Well, I'm very good. It was very windy today, very breezy. The temperatures were starting to drop again. I think we're supposed to have some colder temperatures by the weekend. So Mother Nature just can't make up her mind what she wants to do. But Granny's very happy because my Kansas City Chiefs whopped up on those nasty Raiders. So I was very happy over the weekend.
Yeah, normally that game is always a bloodbath. That's a long-time rivalry. And the Raiders, despite their amount of talent this year they got, they just didn't show up for the game. So, yeah, Kansas City was all over them. So congratulations on that.
And I would like to give a shout-out to a very special friend of mine. Her name is Lisa. And I've known, well, before her and her husband, Kevin, got married, Kevin has been a good friend to me and my husband for many years before we got married, after we got married. And then Lisa and Kevin finally got married a couple years ago. He's a musician. Well, his lovely wife, Lisa, messaged me last night because I've been going through some struggles, you know, as you all know. And she said, let me take you out for lunch and we can just sit and talk. And that was the most refreshing thing. It was like a breath of fresh air. We went to Applebee's. We had lunch. We talked about my family. We talked about her family. And, you know, she considers us, you know, part of her family. We consider them part of our family. And it was something that I really need it today. So thank you, Miss Lisa, for an enjoyable lunch, enjoyable conversation. She certainly put a smile on this lady's face today.
Outstanding. Yeah, I mean, what's the old saying about the path to inner peace is through the ear of a friend or something to that effect? So, yeah, it's good to hear because everybody can use that break. And I know you've been having some rough seas of late, and just to have the ability to speak and have somebody, you know, kind enough to listen, that is very therapeutic and well-deserved. So I'm glad to hear that happen for you, Granny Hulkster. I'm glad to hear you're having a good day today. Hopefully it will continue on into the rest of the week for you, for certain. We appreciate you joining us tonight.
Well, I got wrestling all weekend long, so that's going to make me even happier. So, you know.
Outstanding.
There you go.
So that'll definitely.
I mean, we're doing, my good friends down at Mid-State Saturday night are doing a tribute show in memory of beautiful Bobby Eaton, and I'm going to get to see a lot of people that I have not seen in a long time. I'm going to get to finally meet Bobby's sister and some of their family that's going to be coming to the show. I mean, his sister and I, we've been friends on Facebook for quite a long time, but we've never had the opportunity to meet each other, you know, before Bobby passed away and even after Bobby passed away. So I am just really looking forward to seeing friends that I haven't seen for a while. I'm ready to holler at the bad guys like I always do. And there's one gentleman in particular that I'm very excited about getting to see. He's kind of a heel manager. He does commentating. He used to do commentating for Traditional Championship Wrestling. And I have not seen this gentleman since probably, it's been, well, since TCW quit running in 2013. I have not seen him much since then. So I'm very excited that I'm going to get to see Mr. Brian Thompson this weekend and meet his new lovely wife. And so I'm excited for the whole weekend. I can't wait. Got a show Saturday, got a show Sunday afternoon. I'm just excited for wrestling this weekend.
Good deal. Yeah, good to hear everything's getting back in gear. And
seriously,
folks are, kind of getting back into the groove and everything, regardless of whether it, I know people are always saying, oh, well, you know, there's no such thing as normal now. Yeah, I understand that, but there's got to be a certain amount of forward progress, you know, and things will eventually kill you if you allow it. So if you get in there and try to put all this kind of stuff behind you and get back at it, perhaps things will come around a lot quicker, which you are doing. So, yeah, congratulations on all that. Hope you enjoy yourself. I'm sure you will. Sure, we'll see some postings there on Facebook and everything. So, yeah. Good to have you aboard this evening. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Scoot to the northeast to the fine city of Indianapolis and its outlying settlements and call on my good brother, Tim. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. Greeny would be proud of me. I have wrestling on TV. I was flipping the channels around to have something muted in the background, and I came across, I don't have any idea what I'm watching, but it's AEW Dynamite.
Yes,
about first
AEW.
Time in 20 years.
Yep, AEW is on Wednesday nights.
There you go. So I got that on TV. I'm doing pretty good. Same as Granny. It's pretty dang windy here. Todd will tell you too, although he's probably in an office all day. But we didn't have the cold, but it's on its way. Usually anything that's coming from that general direction makes its way here. And so I know temperatures are going to drop. Framing is going, it's slow, but it's moving on the house. So we're getting there as far as our construction. I think there was probably something else I was going to point out, but I forget now. So just as usual, looking forward to a good show. And, glad to be here.
This introduction brought to you by Ginkgo Biloba.
So with that fine introduction, I'm going to pass it on to my anchor man and good brother, Todd. What's a good word?
I'm doing outstanding, supernatural, ecstatic to be here. And was really happy, despite the wind that dampened the and the cloudiness, that dampened what was otherwise a really pretty day for mid-November, in this part of the country. Yeah, we hit 63 stinking degrees this morning. Not too shabby. Never really felt like it was higher than 59 just because of the wind chill, but that's all right. Could have been way worse. Could have been 33 with that wind.
We hit 27 degrees Saturday morning here in Arkansas, so had our first freeze.
Oh, we've had more than one freeze. We've been through that. We had snow. I don't know. Actually, I did get a little optimistic. I felt the temperature today. I actually asked someone if it was spring yet. Apparently not.
Got a little bit more time ahead of you.
Much like my sex life, I was premature.
I forgot what I was going to bring up in my – I was going to say something else that Granny had hit on, and I was going to give another little shout. And I remember what it was now. It was along the lines of football. So I won't take any shots at Kansas City. They're not my team, but I'll leave them alone. But I was going to say our Colts here in Indianapolis got themselves 500 record. So there you go.
I saw that. Not to mention that my Redskins, yeah, I call them Redskins because until I die,
yeah,
I'll continue to call them that. But they put it all over Tom Brady's ass. I have no idea what happened. I don't know. I don't know if there was some type of contaminant put in the drinking water on the Tampa Bay side, or if aliens were, you know, abductions were involved. But don't get me wrong, I gladly lost that one on the football pool. But on the flip side, when I looked at that damn, you ever check a score and find it so unbelievable that you check like four or five different sources, you get on your laptop and then you get on your tablet, you turn on the TV and all these different ways, you call your buddy, hey, is this right? You know, just to verify. But yeah, the Skins put it all over Thomas. And, it's the interesting dynamic about when your team loses on a regular basis is how they can beat the hell out of one of the greatest football players of all time and lose to the Detroit Lions on a habit. So it's a good weekend for all of us here on Pop Culture Stars when it comes down to our football love and everything. So, yeah, I'll take it.
And I'm right there with you on the office pools. Right there with you on the office pools. You can like the game, the outcome, but you picked against them, so it's like, well, crap. I don't care. I'll eat the loss. Give me the game result.
Yeah, sometimes you're willing just to take it, you know, just to know that your team actually got over for a change, you know. And, being a Washington fan, there's a certain amount of advantageous – I'll put it to you this way. If you were a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, or let's say you're a Lions fan, you know, you've never won anything. So you never really have that taste. It's almost like being a virgin to a certain extent. But being a Skins fan, I grew up watching guys like, you know, John Riggins. And if you ever watch any of Riggins' old play, man, that guy was just, they called him a diesel for a reason. The guy was just incredible. Darryl Green, Art Monk, the Hogs, that you want to talk about a line. I mean, nobody got through those guys. And I got spoiled quite a bit growing up in the 70s and 80s because the Skins were tearing everything up. And then, Theismann got his legs broke. Riggins retired, and Joe Gibbs said, peace out. And everything went from sugar to shit and hasn't returned since. I mean, we've had a couple little blips here and there, but by and large, it's been a long time suffering. So, but, yeah, good to see everybody had a wonderful NFL weekend. Hopefully that will continue. So tonight our topic is absolutely nothing, which is always neat. So all that being said, before we get the grooving, I'm going to go ahead and scratch open the wound, pick the scab, if you will. And
before you do that, or as you're doing that, you need to go ahead and let somebody else in the queue.
Oh,
in from the queue.
Let me strut back in the building here. Well, I'm not actually strutting. I'm shuffling my feet because I'm wearing my house shoes here. Let's see. And there are my hounds chilling on the floor, actually sitting still. That's a first. All right. Q.
Almost makes me think you're being set up.
There we are. Q aboard. So is that Stro out there?
Speaking. I'm just in time for you to pull out the scab. And talk about the nothingness that is the topic tonight. I'm very excited.
Yes. The emptiness. So I hope you are doing well, my good brother. Appreciate you joining us this evening.
You all too. So much. Happy anniversary, by the way, Dave. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Very much obliged. And that was how I was going to open up right there. I was going to wish my lovely bride, Dale, a very happy anniversary again. 23 years married today. together for 26. And, yeah, I tell you what, you know, through the ups, the downs, the lefts and rights and everything, you know, here I stand with my cigar and my beer talking to great friends and everything. And I think a lot of times had I not gotten with her, I wouldn't be in this spot right now because, Lord knows the first time around, you know, creativity was stifled. And, then of course, when that ended, I went into a total tailspin. And, when Dale came along, I finally managed to get my head out of my ass, and by God, I've been doing it for 23 years straight, and I hope it continues. So, yeah, appreciate her coming along and asking me out to lunch 26 years ago and saying I do 23. So, yes, very much obliged. So what we did, just to, again, to open things up, we went to Myrtle Beach. And as you all know, I love to go to Myrtle Beach and party my ass off and everything. But we didn't do a whole lot of partying this time around. We did more just kind of, well, to be quite honest with you, I held bags while Dale shopped. So 23 years of marriage, that's what you do. But the big highlight for me was the food. Now, I want to tell you all real quick, the food was insane because – for one, and Stro, you might have hit a couple of these places in your travels, but we went to a place today called Southern Style Barbecue Buffet. And it's kind of off the beaten path for Myrtle Beach crowd. It's down there towards the Grand Strand Mall that's further down 17. Nevertheless, it's an $11 a seat buffet. And it's all soul food and barbecue. I'm here to tell you, I felt bad when I left that place today, because if I find out that place shut down after what I did today, the guilt will be unreal, because I ate well over $11 worth of chow over there. They had, I mean, the barbecue is indescribable. It was a Carolina barbecue, but it had a sweet taste to it. Mashed potatoes, that was like legit mom's mashed potatoes. The chicken was insane, grilled pork chops, rice, gravy, you name it. They had desserts, and they had a peach cobbler that had I known they had that peach cobbler out there, I would have just gave up on that big second plate I ate and just gone and ate a whole plate of damn peach cobbler. It was absolutely insane. So, in the event you're in Myrtle Beach, Southern Style Barbecue Buffet is a place to check in. It's outstanding. I loved it. And well-deserved of the 4.7 stars that it gets and everything. So, and the other thing I had was last night at the River City Cafe, along with a couple malt beverages. I had, I believe they call it the Island Burger, the Islander Burger. Anyhow, this thing was a half-pound burger, lettuce, tomato, onions, okay, with chipotle mayonnaise, all right, and a big slice of pineapple. And you never would have thought that that stuff goes together, but I'm here to tell you that was probably one of the best burgers I've had in recent memory. I'm here to tell you it's got me with the wheels turning on about cooking hamburgers this week and just trying some stuff out. But yeah, damn thing, it had pineapple on it. And I mean, now granted, I'm going to tell you, you need to wear a drop cloth if you ever order one of these things. If you're going to eat there at River City Cafe and you got a plan to order one of these, you need to wear a poncho because you're going to get it all over you. I ended up finishing it with a damn fork. But, man, God, that thing was good. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, Yeah, so I probably put a few pounds on in the last 2 days, without a doubt. But nevertheless, the weather down there was very good, and as always, Myrtle Beach, everything was pleasant and just enjoyed it. And hats off to Barefoot Landing. They've done quite a bit of progress down there and really turning that place into a nice hangout. They're kind of, and if you've ever been to Barefoot Landing or Broadway at the Beach, there are a couple shops or a couple areas there that's a little riffraffy, if you will. They're running all of them out. So if you're one of these kind of secondhand T-shirt shops or something like that, they're not renewing your lease. And they're replacing it with more with a higher-end shopping base and more interactive-type eatery-type places. So the place we were down there now, I can't remember the name, Hammocks Brewery or something to that effect, but they actually have an outside place. You can go inside and eat, and they have all the, you know, the home brews and all that kind of jazz, but then outside, there's all the seating. There's cornhole. They, like, got the great big checkers and chests mats out there on the floor, so a lot of people were outside just enjoying the weather, having a beer, or, you know, having some type of chow or something. But that's the new thing they're doing down there. They're introducing a lot of that stuff and have really spruced it up. So hats off to those guys for doing what they're doing. So, but yeah, I wanted to toot the horn on some outstanding food, man. That was definitely some good stuff. And my son just ate some kangaroo meat that we got for him at one of the shops down there. So, for the
I bet that place was hopping.
It was hopping. You like that, huh? Very good, man. Todd, I can only depend on you for that quick one-liner, man. But, yeah, for the list of odd-ass animals that he's eaten, now he can throw kangaroos on the list. So if the ghost of Steve Irwin pisses on his head when he's sleeping tonight, it's his own fault. But nevertheless, just another thing to check off the list. But so I'm going to pass it on. Enough of me. I'm going to work on this cigar and work on these beers. So what are you guys doing?
Well, first of all, Dave, I think we need to just offer thoughts and prayers for our very good friend, Velvet.
Yes.
Most stuff.
Yeah, he's currently fighting uphill. The man's got a ton of spirit, and I know he'll pull through. But nevertheless, any positive energy going his direction, I'm sure, will be appreciated. But, yeah, Velvet, nothing but the best going to you, brother. We miss you, and hope nothing but calm seas coming up here, man. That is for damn certain.
Definitely love to miss you, mate.
So, Stro, what kind of madness do you got going on right now?
No, it never ends. I just got upset most of last week for film and two videos, and that'll be out in the next few months. Aside from film work, see what I got coming immediate future. Oh yeah, this weekend, Saturday morning, I'll be helping out the fellow Chamber of Commerce ambassadors with the Christmas parade Saturday morning. I'm planning on with the board of directors for Indian River Media. We're going to check out. We're going to a fundraising filming. Well, we're going to watch Back to the Future at the North Carolina History Center for a fundraising event, and which to help raise money for Parkinson's. That's currently Michael J. Fox's, you know, what he's going through. And so
right.
Going to that fundraising event to raise money for Parkinson's that evening. I plan on seeing the new Ghostbusters movie tomorrow, Afterlife, in the theater. I'm pretty curious to check it out. The trailer looks... Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really excited about that. The trailer looks amazing. And I saw the interview the other night with Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, and Ernie Hudson on a late show. And it was so cool to see them involved in the movie. And one of the first questions that was asked Bill Murray was like to put on the Ghostbuster suit again. And he looked at his spot and said, it hurt. I could barely fit in the thing. That was so funny. They have a lot of stuff.
Pretty promising, man. I think they they might do it good, unlike the last iteration they had of it. That was just kind of done with a statement. I think this one actually is done with the fans in mind. So, I just realized it opened tomorrow. I might have to break down and go ahead and go see that. Now, did you see the Spider-Man trailer today?
Yeah.
Lord.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like the first one when I saw Dr. Octopus. I popped for that. So that was really cool. But yeah, this one was really good.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't. The other two Spider-Man flicks weren't bad, but about all the Marvel stuff, it certainly wasn't up in my top 5, 10, if you will.
Oh yeah.
You know, they weren't bad, but they weren't Captain Marvel. So.
Well, yeah, Captain Marvel is a whole new stench of a wiener reflection. Jesus.
I'm hearing the same about the Eternals. I have yet to go see it.
Oh, my God. Eternals.
Did you see it?
As the stomach turns.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's not even like Rotten Tomato. Sour Fresh is like back in the ground again, trying to grow. Bad.
That bad, huh?
Yeah. Oh, geez. And it's even banned in some countries, from what I hear.
What?
Even China banned
it. Really? I heard it was like 3.5 hours long. Is there any truth to that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you thought the new Dune movie was long, oy, this one's like Lord of the Rings type long.
Oh, God. Yeah. My brother said it best. He says, because he's one of those guys that will actually skip work to go see a Marvel flick. And he said that, how normally a lot of movies will put the good parts in the trailer to kind of bring you on. He says when the trailer doesn't even pop, you know the rest of the movie's going to suck.
Man.
And he said it looked like a watered-down Game of Thrones. And I was like, yeah, now you're talking about it. Yeah.
I waited to watch Black Widow for free because I was hearing all kind of crazy things about it. So I held out until I got the chance to watch it later after all the hype and everything. And thank God I didn't pay to watch that. Oh,
really?
Jeez. Oh, so disappointed. And see, I'm a Scarlett Johansson fan too, right? And
right.
It wasn't really her. It was just a movie. It was just like, Marvel, what are you doing?
Yeah, I had heard the same, and I'm one of the few have yet to take the time to watch it. And I haven't watched Shang-Chi either. I've heard good and bad about it.
Yeah, me
but
too.
The thing I had brought up is that you know, when Captain America's and Iron Man and, you know, Guardians and all those came out and Avengers, when it went to the theater, you found out opening day and you went to work and said, hey, I need this day off. You know,
right.
I'm sure a lot of people got the what for. Not that it's any of the boss's any damn business, but nevertheless, a lot of people say, well, what
for?
You know, because it was a landmark. It was an event for you. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, man, the next Captain America flick. I have got to get my ass out there and see it. But,
oh yeah.
You know, and then the next day, everybody at work was talking about it. And for the days and weeks following, people were talking about those films. Whereas I have yet to have an uninitiated Black Widow, Shang-Chi, or Eternals conversation with anybody I know. And
yeah, I miss them much.
Yeah. And what I mean by uninitiated, you know, where somebody just comes out and starts talking about it instead of me actually going out there and digging and saying, excuse me, has anybody here watched? So, yeah, it doesn't bode well at all for the franchise. And I just hope this Spider-Man flick looks very compelling. And, you know, if what I think is on deck is going to happen, it's going to be just ridiculous awesome.
Speaking of that, I don't know if you saw the little teaser for the She-Hulk thing coming out that Disney did on their like Disney Day. I'm like, please, dear God, let it be better than what they're showing, because what they showed of She-Hulk, I mean, the CGI was so bad. I mean, she had, like, no muscle. And I mean, how can you have a She-Hulk without muscle? I mean, come on. You know what I mean? It was just so bad. That little clip they showed, the little teaser, and she repeated the, like, David Banner line, like, back in the day, because you don't like, you know, don't get me angry. You wouldn't like me if I'm angry. I'm like, oh, so cheese. And it was rotten cheese of that. So, I mean, I really hope the next trailer to come out about this is much better, because I'm a big She-Hulk fan, right, from the comics.
Right.
So I'm like, please, please. And it's supposed to be a comedy, I guess, from what I understand, which I don't mind comedy as much, but I just hope they don't, like, drop the ball on this.
Yeah, if they don't turn it into a joke, you know.
Yeah.
Guardians was funny, but it wasn't demeaning funny. The third Thor movie was funny, but it still had its compelling parts to it. You know what I mean? So hopefully, you know, that'll be what happens with the She-Hulk one. Because you're right, She-Hulk was a good character in the comic books, man. I mean, it was pretty groundbreaking. You know, when she hit the scene, you know, because up before that, you know, the Hulk was the Hulk, and, you know, you didn't have any type of characters like that, so her coming along was definitely groundbreaking, and, you know, always thought she had a good comic book, but her comic books never really got up off the ground, you know. I just think it just wasn't written correctly, to be honest with you, but
if done right, it could be a great story, you know? I mean, I just hope Marvel
does
it right.
Excuse me. Oh, I hear you. What kind of random congestion you got going on there, Todd? Is it some of that cool air or the warm air getting to you after having all the cool air? But, yeah, hopefully those will be good to go. Now, Todd, Tim, Granny, you guys see anything? Have you guys seen any of the trailers or looking forward to any of those?
So I'll chime in. Yeah, I saw, pardon me, now I think I cut you off. I try to compensate for what I feel is a delay. So a lot of times I try to jump the gun and speak a little fast, so pardon me. It's like a I can't win for losing. I'm going to cut somebody off regardless. Either I chime in later or I chime in early. Anyway, so the trailer that I saw – actually, I'm not sure if I fully did see the trailer, but I know that I saw an advertisement for The Conjuring 3. And
oh, wow.
There was, you know, a conversation between me and my wife, and I'm like, didn't we see, like, the first one, you know? And we're like, yeah, but I can't really remember what first Conjuring was. But somehow I came to find Lord, I'm having trouble even remembering. I don't know if I originally saw something on Facebook, but regardless, I found out that apparently, and maybe you guys know this, maybe I'm the one who's been living in a cave, but at least this story, I don't know about the other Conjuring movies, but Conjuring 3 is based on a true story. And I have done my own fact-checking, and it is, no doubt, it's documented. Because it was a case where the guy who ended up being possessed, it started off being an 11-year-old boy. I guess I don't want to give the movie away, but I have no idea. I'm talking about the actual story, so I don't know how far they deviated from that. I'm sure it's not 100% that story. But, you know, there was a boy who was possessed. In an attempt to get rid of the demons from him, another person welcomed the, you know, tried to say, no, you know, come get me or something to that effect. So the older gentleman, you know, he becomes possessed, and apparently he ends up killing someone. And he's taken into custody, he's arrested, he's on trial, and the lawyer is trying to claim that he was innocent because he was possessed. And it's been known as the quote-unquote, the devil made me do it case. No idea if that's real quote comes from or not, but anyway, yeah. So I found that interesting, and I looked it up. Of course, I did see it on Wikipedia, and we all know you can't really, you don't have to be vetted to put anything there. I found it in a couple of the places, and I found out it is a documented court case. So anyway, and there was even some legal stuff that happened after the fact, but. Sure as shit, The Conjuring 3 is at least based off of that story. So I can't wait to go see it, because anytime I've got a hint that a horror movie was based off of a real event, that creeps me out, and that becomes a true horror flick. Any of the others, I can sit through the Saw movies, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty gruesome. That's pretty cool, though, you know, and I'm fine because it's not real, whatever. I mean, you know, I get a kick out of them. But you give me some crap like that and tell me it's based on a true story, I might have a little bit of trouble going to sleep that night. So I'm looking forward to it. I'd like to hear anybody else's input on it. I don't know if anyone else has seen it.
Yeah, that
no,
is interesting.
You're right, though. Yeah, when you know the stuff actually happened, there is a kind of a compelling effect that it has on a film or a TV or something of that effect, because you know, we all remember when the Blair Witch hit. You know, it was advertised as legit.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know,
yeah,
6 months down the road when we found out that it wasn't, and it really knocked the nuts off of the experience, because I didn't see it in the theater. But I was one of these guys that gladly dumped $25 on the DVD when it released and came home. And if I recall, it was kind of an early fall evening. And you know, we opened the windows, shut off the air conditioner, put that in. So there was nothing but the crickets, you know, being heard outside. And we watched it in the dark. And, you know, the thought that these people actually went through that stuff, the whole time you're watching it, you're like, damn, God, man, this sucks. And, of course, like I said, 6 months later, you find out that it wasn't true, and then you're like, well, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, come on,
tell you what.
Frank Dukes. It was a supposed to be a true story, but it turned out he made it all up.
There was Paranormal Activity too. That movie creeped me out. It played up like it was true, and I don't think it was. I have no idea. But that first Paranormal Activity movie that I saw, that about, you know, whew, that one got me.
Like the Mini Vendilli of film, yeah.
it showed that chick next to the bed. She gets up, and then it does a fast forward and shows she's been standing there for like 3 or 4 hours. She's staring at the dude. That's creepy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's heavy.
And for those of us who have been married for quite some time, we know that's some real shit. So,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Are we going to have to do a welfare check on Todd? I haven't heard him chime in like forever.
Todd, what is going on out there?
Oh, confused what I had
there
mute on. I was going to ask, I was confused with that paranormal activity. You keep brought one movie up, and I just can't darn remember. There was one of those ones that started where first episode version or whatever was in Alaska, was supposed to be based on a true story. Some psychologist going, talking about everything that happened. That thing involved alien abduction and who knows what else.
Was it the thing?
Was it the thing with Kurt Russell? No, that was the other end of the planet. That was the south end of the planet.
Okay, all right.
And I hate to say it, I still remember the one with James Arness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the old Marshall Dillon was the original thing, as I recall.
Oh.
He was the beast in the original movie. But there was one of those paranormal weird events things that's supposed to have happened out of Alaska, and Yuki just said there was some sort of follow-up on it when she was up here.
I think the X-Files had an episode about that, too, about something
out that way.
You guys
start mentioning things based on things that are true, and it's always a little more fun. Mm-hmm. I like that when that stuff is brought up, because sure enough, there are some of those ones you hear the stories. I don't know. I mean, those that know the story, Travis.
Fire in the Sky.
Fire in the Sky, right.
Yes. That, I tell
Robert,
you what.
Robert Patrick was in it, too. From Terminator 2 was in it.
Yeah, in one of the versions. Sure enough, was. I mean, the young one. That's a, you stop and you think, you hear that in the true story, that's a bit of something.
Yeah.
Travis Walton, that's his name.
Ah.
Especially that thing that goes into his eye, man. That was the worst. That was the hardest part of that movie to take, was that thing going in his eye. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, he has never, ever recanted that story. And the people around him, the heat they got for, people thinking that they had committed some form of murder or something. And they all stand by everything what they said they saw.
That's crazy. When they, there's another flick out there called Green Inferno, and I don't know if anybody's taken the time to watch that.
Is that what I'm thinking is about? The Green Inferno?
The cannibal movie?
Go ahead. Oh, my God.
I watched it just because, somebody said this is one of those movies you can't sit through. And
God.
Yeah. You know, y'all know me, man. When I won't do something until you tell me I can't. And so when they said, this movie's hard to get through, most people walked out of it. And they said that even the producers and the director of the movie actually had the law called on them because people thought it was actually happening when they were filming it.
Wow.
And, when you watch it, I agree. It has near to no plot at all. And spoiler alert, a group of college-age hikers get hung up with a tribe of cannibals during the hiking trip, and the cannibals go buffet style on them. That's the front and back of the storyline. There's absolutely no storytelling at all. And, you know, you're watching it, and you're like, Jesus Christ. You know, but it was one of those ones when you got done watching it, you felt like you needed to go to confessional and just say, hey, I'm better than watching this. I can't believe I sat through an hour and a half of this. I just want to confess. I want to get it off my chest. But, yeah, that was another one that had a realistic effect. And, Todd, you're right. You know, like I said, when you get that realism going in there, and in the event it's what was it, Amityville that was based on? The DeFeo murder.
Yeah, Amityville Horror.
Yeah. And Amityville Horror, the same people, the same, I'm trying to think of the term for them. They're the ones who, and I don't know if they necessarily perform the exorcism, but paranormal, we'll call them investigators, I guess. I don't know if that's the right term for these particular people. But the two that are mentioned in The Conjuring 3 also were in Amityville Horror. I can't think of their names right now because I'm terrible at names. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, look at that. The,
why couldn't I find this crap around Halloween? Why couldn't I find it then? Would have been good for a show.
Because you're too busy making tombstones. A little pop culture inside joke.
Yeah.
You're a wonderful crowd.
That's good.
I'll be here all week. Thank you.
That's funny. The man. That's wicked. The all right, actually, I think we kind of twigged on something. Movies based on reality, and we focused on the ones that kind of creeped us out so far. The that's a good thing to go off of, because we know some of the stuff based on reality gets really, really loosely pulled. And I won't even say just stuff off somebody's book, because I've seen stuff that I'm like, really? And I just very much feel like I know better than that. But there's some that, they're just, the horror creepy stuff is kind of working so far. And the fire in the sky, I mean, you stop and you think about that.
Yeah.
Have a whole truckload of dude, and one of them got out, walked up, and zing, he's gone. What the hell?
Yeah, that was supposed to be a true story, too. That was another one that was actually based on.
Yes, that's the whole point. It was Travis Walton has never recanted his story, and those around him have still stood by their story.
You guys are pretty Dr. John at least knows him, right? I think there's a story.
As a matter of fact,
why am I not surprised?
John definitely knows him. I know John somehow or other Dr. John got probably offered to help, I would guess, to pick up some extra books and stuff.
Dr. John should Peter Venkman's World of the Psychic show. That would have been
probably
amazing.
Dr. John had a couple cases of Travis Walton's books when he came up here, and we went to that Horror Hound convention a number of years back, and we were slipping those books from the damn parking garage to the facility for Travis Walton to go ahead and get them sold. But John knows him better. I've met him. Yeah, seems pretty reasonable guy, although he needs to give up on that damn toupee. Damn, that was a bad
thing. Did you say Horror House in there to go?
Horror Hound Convention.
Okay. Just checking.
Very good.
The Horror Hound. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Ah, yes, yes. Just get the spell check out, boys and girls, just to make sure. Got to verify. I will never, never admit to going to a horror fest myself.
The
horror of it all.
I did play a piano in one of those places for a living for a while, but that's beside the point.
Yes. Outstanding. I'm trying to think of some of these other flicks that I've seen that are based. And, you know, sometimes you got to watch out with some of these movies because they will say based on the characters or
yes.
based on the people. And
a
good example, and my dad loves the flick. I love the flick myself, but it's so far away from factual, is Untouchables with Kevin Costner mm-hmm. and De Niro, Sean Connery.
Wow, what a cast.
Yeah, you talk about bubblegum for the brain type thing, you know what I mean, where it's, you got 2 hours to spare and you just want something that's not going to, you know, totally engorge you, but you want something on in the background. It's such a great flick, but that thing had absolutely nothing to do with fact. And I tell you, another one like that was Young Guns. Love the flick. Love that movie, man. I mean, it had that was another one. It had everybody, man. It had Charlie Sheen, Diamond Phillips.
What a classic.
Yeah. Everybody was in. But it's so far from the truth that it could be definitely misinterpreted a lot of times when you're watching it. Because I'm a sucker for the biopics. I have no problem with sitting down and watching something that's supposed to be, well, you guys remember years ago, I think we're all old enough to remember Mommy Dearest. I mean, when mm-hmm. that movie came out and you watched that movie, I mean, at the end of that flick, you were like, Christ, man, you just went inside and kissed your kids on the forehead and everything. I mean, it was like, you know, I can't believe this woman would do something like that to her kids. But on the flip side, the book that her daughter wrote, her daughter never wrote the book until her daughter found out that she wasn't getting anything in the inheritance. So you got to wonder if it's a heavy sodium content, if you will, otherwise known as a salty version of real facts. Because, you know, Joan Crawford had been dead for years, and her daughter had all the opportunities to write a book about what had happened, but waited. And then when she got dipped on the inheritance, then all of a sudden she was writing this book about how her mother beat her ass with a wire hanger and everything else. And it's
it's always fun when they can't defend themselves.
Correct. Absolutely correct. I mean, I always wondered why people wait. And not to go deep into the rabbit hole, especially the ones that want to accuse people of not just being a dick. Because let's face it, if you've been in charge of anything, you've got to be a dick to a certain extent to succeed. There are a lot of people out there that can't handle straight talk. You know, so if somebody was to write a story about you and you come off as a weenie, that's one thing. But when they start accusing people of, you know, touching people up and all this other kind of stuff, it's like, man, you know, so when did this happen? Well, 1972. Okay, well, you waited until 2021 to talk about it? Yeah, it's just one of those things. If you're going to accuse people of doing some pretty heavy stuff like, you know, assault and theft and murder and all that kind of jazz, man, you got to hit them when the iron's hot. You cannot wait for that person to go on the ground because then there's no justice. You know, you know, their reputation might be tarnished, but on the flip side, they're in the ground. Doesn't matter. So, yeah, I totally agree with you, Todd. It's so much easier to throw that stuff out there when somebody can't have a rebuttal, you know?
It won't, you know, they'll never have their day in court should they want to fight it. Yeah. And let's face it, the worse the press, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to think of some other ones out there that, I know a decent one. Is American Gangster, the one about Frank Lucas. Denzel Washington was in it.
Okay.
I saw a special. You haven't seen it?
Nope.
Fantastic movie. And they actually have an extended version of it. I have the theater release and then the extended on DVD. The extended version of it just gives that movie so much more leg to it. And I want to say it's like 3.5 hours when you watch the extended. But, you know, it's another one of those ones where you're watching, you're going, okay, this might be a little over the top. Well, I had seen a special probably a year ago on one of these random cable networks, and they had Frank Lucas, the man, on there narrating his own documentary. And you were like, damn. By the time you got done watching it, you were like, Denzel, you didn't do this guy justice. This is a badass right here. I mean, when you saw the actual Frank Lucas talking, you could tell the guy just had a damn cold streak. You know, that was not, you know, was he a violent guy in the movie, and was he, you know, all business? Yes, he was. But then when you see the actual Frank Lucas talking, you could feel the callousness and the cold in that guy's heart. Like, wow, you know, it's something else. Another one that comes to mind is Raging Bull, one of my favorite movies, Raging Bull. When you watch that and then you watch a Jake LaMotta interview, it falls right into place. You know what I mean? And if I'm not mistaken, Robert De Niro actually became LaMotta's roommate for like 6 months. When they were filming that, so that way De Niro got better at his personality and his mannerisms and everything. So when you watch Raging Bull and then you watch a LaMotta interview, you can actually see Jake through De Niro, you know what I mean? So though that might be another one that has a little bit of a loose basis, the character portrayal was definitely spot on. So, we almost made it to 10 without any dead air, and then we just broke our streak.
we were doing good on that. Sadly, I was trying to read at the same time.
I hear
you. I was playing around with searching horror movies based on true stories, and I'm seeing stuff here. I'm like, yeah, not so much. But it's cool how some of them have that, like, as soon as I know that they were stretching different truths, like The Hills Have Eyes, wait, it's supposed to be based on a true story. Things like The Exorcist was actually based on, you know, why it had one primary, understood it was taken on a couple different stories. But you stop, you think about it, one of the ones in the list, Jaws, that was influenced by the attack that happened from that bull shark in some creek, where they took that little bit and really stretched it for the story. But, you know, that's one of those you really got to connect the dots.
You got to put your accent behind it, the Cape Cod accent. Jazz.
So I thought about a twist on it instead of horror films that were based on true stories, and I don't know if this would come up with any results. You guys are going to be way better at this than me. But what about movies, and it wouldn't even necessarily have to be scary movies, maybe thrillers, whatever, but movies that were not really based on any type of true event, but yet those movies played out, if, you know, for however it could have. The movie actually, you know, basically came true. So I wonder if there's any of those out there.
So they were prophetic somehow?
Yeah, like you could think of, you could, I said, well, I don't know, this would be stretching it, but what about that movie Contagion?
Yeah.
But like Contagion, definitely. Where you got the whole pandemic, you know, I mean, I know, like I said, that's a stretch. I'm not really trying to make that as a great example, but just, you know, scenarios.
I remember
like
when
that.
This whole thing started that people were referring to an episode, Anthony Michael Hall played the character. Yeah, I'm sorry. Anthony Michael Hall played the character of the old Stephen King book. For the guy that had visions after his car wreck.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
I can't think of the name.
They did the movie and then they did the TV series for a while. But they talked about how things from one of those episodes were almost spot on for when this whole thing started. That's one that jumps out.
Very interesting.
Good
call.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, They Live. Boy, that came true, didn't it?
Well, nothing. I'm going to say there's a certain speaker of the house. It sure looks like one of them.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yes. Couldn't agree more. Let's go, Brandon. You know, it's funny, speaking on COVID, when COVID first hit, and I'm sure I'm not the only guy who felt this way, you really didn't know what we were getting into. And to a certain extent, you know, I walked around kind of looking over my shoulder, you know, in March of 2020 and April of 2020 when this stuff was first going on. I mean, we've spoken
dead zone,
length
by
about
the way.
Yeah, nothing new for me. We've spoken at length about how the media can contort things and how they, you know, sensationalize what they want to hear to make good stories, to make good press. So a lot of us were kind of walking around like, okay, you know, it's you know, do we really need to play heads up? Because it's kind of like going through your first hurricane. If you've lived here in the Carolina coast for any amount of time, and Stroh, Todd, you guys have lived over here long enough to know, you know, I know you guys have heard it when there's a hurricane coming, and there's always somebody that's going to say, well, Christ, guys, what are you getting all worked for, worked up for? It's just a Category 1. So for us, a Category 1 hurricane is grilling weather. But if you have somebody, well, let's throw Granny under the bus for crying out loud. You know, we'll do that to you, Granny. Granny has lived in Arkansas. So we take Granny and we put her here at my house when a Category 1's coming through. It's terrifying because you don't know what you're getting into. Whereas for guys that live here on the Carolina coast, you know, the hurricane's blowing, or we're walking out on the deck watching trees fall going, it ain't as bad as the last one. So when COVID hit, there was a lot of us that really didn't know
you know, we've already been through the SARS and the chicken flu and the swine flu and the Ebola and all that kind of crap. But this one was kind of portrayed as a killer to start with. So for, you know, me, a guy with, you know, a family, grandkids, and my folks are still alive, doing well, you know, I was kind of like, okay, you know, uh-oh. So do I need to just, you know, avoid? Because in my head, I'm already running outbreak in my head. I'm picturing Dustin Hoffman walking around in the damn yellow suit. I picture Rene Russo pricking her damn uniform. I picture Cuba Gooding Jr. chasing a monkey into the woods. When, truth be told, this COVID thing turned out to be the total opposite. And to a certain extent, there's a kind of a scary aspect to that, that if you look at all the nonsense that went into the COVID thing, now, again, let me preface this with saying that is COVID a real thing? Yes. And have many people lost their lives over it? Yes. And is it something to be taken seriously? Absolutely. But on the flip side, you know, there's nobody, including myself with three published novels, that could have sat down and wrote that the Surgeon General and the top doctors in the nation would get up in front of Christ and everybody on the planet and say, you can riot, but you can't go to graduation. You can go to Walmart, but you can't go to your cigar shop. You know what I mean? So for those of us who, you know, again, have that kind of preconceived notion of an outbreak, like the movie, where they've actually, you know, throwing bodies into an abandoned barn and burning the whole damn thing down, the way COVID went, it was almost a comedy when it comes down to the the execution of it, if you will. You know what I mean? It just, the nonsense that they put forth. And as a matter of fact, I was speaking about it in Myrtle Beach when you were down there at one of the outlets, and nobody's wearing any masks. Nobody's wearing masks. You know, you go in the store, nobody's wearing a mask. You go in there to eat, nobody's wearing a mask. But then you get to a certain store, which I will not name, but it's headed by a big mouth that goes, when you walked in there, they made you sanitize your hands. They made you put on a mask. They had people walking around in like, just like, almost like surgical stuff. It was just so overdone. And I understand that all those people working there were just going through the motions of being employed at that store. But on the flip side, I wanted to pull them to the side and say, hey, guys, you're the only one doing this. So how safe are you by being overly safe? You know what I mean? It's, I don't know. It just seemed a little ridiculous to me. And so, yeah, Tim, when you're talking about films that came out that could have, you know, kind of was prophetic, whereas, you know, you watch a lot of these 28 Days Later, even though I was a zombie flick, but you watch a lot of these virus plague movies, and when COVID hit, that's all you could think about. So now we're damn near 2 years down on COVID now. And the unfortunate thing about COVID is that there was so much smoke blowing up so many asses that when something really does happen, nobody's going to listen. Nobody.
So what's going to be interesting is in one direction that I kind of thought of when I brought up the twist on the topic, is think of all of the movies that have been made. And again, they're not scary movies. They're action or thriller, whatever. But think of all the movies that have to do with artificial intelligence and those things that we create to think for themselves end up turning on us. A ton of movies.
Like Skynet.
Yep. Yeah.
There you go. So
now
obviously, we've not had a big takeover of any. We don't have robots marching patrolling the streets right now, but it's a kind of an eerie thought to think that many creators have, you know, had their own interpretation, but it all revolves around some sort of hostile takeover because machines figure out that, you know, we're the biggest harm. So just kind of something creepy to think about.
Well, with that, now, guys, I know you guys have had, you know, Todd, Granny, Tim, I know you guys all have got to seen this before where you'll be on the phone talking. You know, let's say I'm on the phone and I happen to talk to Stro about a con in Knoxville, Tennessee. Okay? I have absolutely zero kin in Knoxville. I would have to look at the map to figure out how to get to Knoxville. So I have like 0% connections to Knoxville, right? But I hang up the phone with Stro after speaking on the con in Knoxville. Now, I have not Googled anything. I have not looked up anything. I only spoke. It was Stro calling me saying, hey, are you going to the con in Knoxville? That was the conversation. The next day you'll get up and your Facebook ads will be stuff about Knoxville. Have you guys ever noticed that? Or if you happen to post, like,
there's plenty of that.
Yeah, where, like, Granny would post something about the Chiefs. And then for the next week, she gets all these random ads about Chiefs shirts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, have you... Yeah. So, you know, when it comes down to the AI type stuff, you know, it's, you know, they're listening.
Todd, that might have something to do with, Todd, it might have something to do with all those ads you're getting for enlargement pills that you were telling me about.
I've got to do something about enlarging the bank account.
He's
and I figure that head might
head
help.
Call it estate planning. But, you know, that's another thing, too, Tim. You bring forth a good point that, you know, you're on the phone joking with a friend of yours about, you know, hey, you got ED, and then the next day, there's nothing but Cialis pill ads going on, and you're going, okay, so where in the hell did this come from? So it almost makes you, you know, scared to speak on the phone sometimes, even like these Alexas. Have you ever asked an Alexa when World War III will start? It'll give you
exact date. Right now. All right. I'm going to test this because I got one right next to me. Hang on a second. I got to plug it in.
Here we go.
Let's see. This might take
ask
a second to work.
Ask Alexa a question about the future, like what country will be responsible for starting World War III or something like that, and see what it will tell you.
All right, I gotta wait for it to stop spinning here. I think it's still trying to go through its setup process here. So we get it. Looks like it's getting closer. It's funny that you mention Alexa, because while I'm waiting for it to reset, I will go in a certain direction with that, kind of a tangent, if you will. And I was going to mention, and for, again, I think I'm just pretty ignorant, especially for the field of work that I'm in. It makes me really kind of dumb as well. But anyway, we were goofing around yesterday. Wife, not that kind of goofing around. She goes to bed, and I was downstairs on the couch. And the next thing I know, Alexa says, it kind of makes the beep and says, from Kimberly. And then, you know, says a silly message. And I was like, what the hell was that? Like, I knew what it was, but I was like, how in the world did she set an alarm? Because I know how to do that. I like to set the alarms. They're hysterical. You can do fart alarms. You can do whatever you want. So finally, she admits that she was calling and setting messages. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I didn't know you could do that. She's like, yeah. She goes, you can even listen. And I was like, what? And I thought she was just, you know, just kind of poking at me, you know, whatever, trying to freak me out. And then she was like, no, watch. Or she asked me, she's like, what are you watching on TV? And I said, gotcha. I said, there's not a thing on TV. And I was just sitting there on my phone. It was complete silence in the room anyway. And she was like, no, I hear the television. And come to find out, she was actually tuned into my daughter's room. So she was listening to everything going on in my daughter's room because my daughter has an Alexa in there as well. And I thought that was pretty creepy because
wow.
If she can chime in and listen to it, that tells me that there are some smart shits out there that could crack and basically listen to everything that's going on in the house.
Right.
So that kind of freaked me out. With that being said, I believe Alexa on my end here, oh, yeah, she's set up because she just kind of blinked at me. Let me wait.
Sorry, I'm having trouble here.
Yeah, okay.
Can you say that again?
Oh, there she is.
What, Alexa? What country will be responsible for starting World War III?
I don't know that one.
Oh, come on. All right, let me try a different approach here.
That
Alexa, when will World War III start?
There hasn't been a World War III. World War I occurred from 1914 to 1918.
Yeah,
World War II occurred from 1939 to 1945.
All right, smart ass.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the fun I have with her tonight, I guess.
When I ask mine, it said Germany would be responsible for starting World War III, and it would happen in 2026. Gave it an exact date.
Wow.
Gave an exact date, named the countries. I was like, are you kidding me?
So here's something. Here's a little creepy twist to put on it. What if just the conversation we're having was enough to spark a reprogram so that Alexa wouldn't say a damn thing about it. Huh?
Chew
on that.
Hey, ask Alexa if she's spying on you. That's another good one.
Alexa, are you spying on me?
No, I'm not spying on you. I'm designed to protect your privacy. You can learn more by visiting amazon.com/Alexa.
Whoa.
Awfully defensive there, aren't you, Miss Alexa?
Lying bitch. Liar, liar, plants for hire. I don't care.
Yes, you should ask her, she's not what lie to me, would you, Alexa?
Yeah. They are harvesting every word you say in your house, and I know here I go with the tinfoil hat. In my house, I say what I want to say when I want to say it, and that's the reason why I dropped 6 digits on this home. So I could damn nails in the wall, and I can damn spill stuff on the floor, and I can say whatever the hell I wanted to say. And this acre of property. And now I've got this Alexa in my house. Now, how can I solve it? By simply bending over and unplugging the goddamn thing. But how much data is being collected from, you know, hey, I'm running to the store. You need anything? Hey, Poppy, you get me a thing of Doritos? And then all of a sudden you start getting Dorito ads, Dorito coupons. Well, how in the hell, where's all this coming from? and it's because somebody mentioned Doritos in your house, and that piece of shit picked up on it. I'm telling you. I just
then you're freaking out like a guy from a Jimmy John's commercial.
Ah,
yes. Yeah.
So when you talk about AI, you know, it's almost like it's the first stage of an AI takeover would be collection of data. You know what I mean? Getting to know what your family dynamic's like, what kind of pharmaceuticals you're on, and not because it's going into your files or going into your criminal history or going into your, you know, HIPAA files or something of that effect, but just listening to you talk.
That's
on the
highly
phone.
Irregular, Dave.
It is.
How 9,000? Space Odyssey.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has got to be wonderful, you know. Yeah, play with that Alexa. If you got nothing else going on, Tim, just plug that thing up and just ask it a bunch of random ass questions about stuff that hasn't happened yet, and see what it will tell you. I mean, how does this thing know to answer that way? You know, it's
yeah.
Just,
and I'll tell you what.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, all I was going to say was, you know, they've already been working on, like, collecting data. And I'll say kind of one of my geeky IT terms would be, like, key logging. So there's actual software that will recognize keystrokes that an individual will take. And they use that. It basically falls in the category of biometrics. It's something that you have.
Oh, wow.
And so basically they've got keystroke loggers that will look for patterns and such. So different security softwares can use that to their advantage and try to recognize a pattern in someone. And then if they detect something else, it'll be like, wait a minute, that's not the guy who's normally using this computer. So shit like that's already used. And, you know, it's a real good example of just how smart something can be, or dumb if you think about it, and could become hostile. So, anyway, Stro, you were going to say
something?
No, I was going to make reference to Airplane 2. Remember the scene where the captain's telling the stewardess to blow the computer, and she's like, "Blow Rob?" And then the computer pulls a big smiley face.
Right.
The computer knows exactly what he's talking about.
Or the first one, where the first one where the autopilot deflates and she has to reinflate him. Yes. The dude walks in on him, and afterward they're smoking a cigarette.
Great flick, really, man. That's funnier now. Well, here we are. We have made it. And we have actually made it to 7 minutes left. And, of course, we'll probably ease in a little extra innings. But, nevertheless, probably be a good time to put a kink in the hose and go ahead and pass it around the room for parting shots. And then we will cue in the salty British lady. And I will go take a shower, which, and Stro, I'm going to hit you up on this one because I know you do a lot of traveling. It's the little things when you travel that you appreciate at the house that you never really realized meant that much, like taking a dump in your own toilet or showering in your own shower, because hotel showers, man, I mean, the soap is like heavy grit sandpaper. It smells funny. It doesn't lather up. And then you get all soaked up, and then you've got the water that is the equivalent of like an elf pissing down your back, and you feel it takes you like 20 minutes to get all the soap off you, and Lord knows with your hair, God knows how you get all the, you know, hair products the hell out of it. I don't have that problem these days, but nevertheless, you know, you go home and you crank up your own shower and you grab your old trusty bar of Irish Spring, and you're going, hot damn, I'm home. Just the little things like that, you know?
Hell yeah.
So I'll be looking forward to crashing in my own bed and washing my ass in my own shower and all that other good stuff. So, but, yeah, appreciate everybody joining this evening. So, as I usually do when we pass it around the ring, I'm going to go ahead and hit up the busiest guy out of all of us, which is my good brother Stro. What kind of stuff you got going on, bud?
Well, tomorrow night, WCW Stro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on nation.com. We'll be discussing how to create our own Survivor Series team from past and present. So anybody wants to build their own Survivor Series team, call in. We'll have some fun. And then Friday night on my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time at facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature for this Friday night will be Night of the Comet from the 80s, so please tune in.
Oh, cool. Outstanding. Yeah, should appreciate you calling in and joining us this evening. Appreciate you adding
Thank you for having me. Always a good time here.
Yeah, adding to the soup, man. I appreciate you showing up. And, again, you guys check out Stro's podcast, man. He's got a lot of good stuff going on because that's an interesting concept, that Survivor. Because when you just said it, man, the wheels started turning in my head. I'm like, wow. You know, it's, you know, the amount of names you can throw out there is just incredible. So, yeah, good topic. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
So, Grammy, speaking of wrestling, Granny Hulkster. Now, I know you got some wrestling coming up this weekend and everything. Did you want to promote that?
Sure. Saturday, November 20th in Harrison, Arkansas for Mid-States. They are doing a tribute show in the memory of beautiful Bobby Eaton, and I know that some of Bobby's family is going to be in attendance, so I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a great night of wrestling. Like I said, I'm going to get to see friends that I haven't seen for a while. I'm going to finally get to meet Bobby's sister, Debbie, which I'm looking very much forward to that. I don't know if his daughter is going to be in attendance or not yet. I don't know for sure on that. I'm friends with his daughter as well. But I think there's going to be a lot of surprises in store for Saturday night. I'm looking forward to it. And then Sunday in Fayetteville, Arkansas, at the Northwest Arkansas Mall, we have a new company that's starting up called Crown Championship Wrestling. A lot of the local talent from Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri. I'm not sure. I think there's about 7 or 8 matches that are going to be Sunday afternoon. I'm looking forward to seeing that as well. I know all the wrestlers that are going to be wrestling, so, you know, like I said, local talent. So Granny's just ready for some good wrestling this weekend. I've had a lot going on, and, you know, I've had a lot of frustration the last couple of weeks off and on, and Granny just needs to get some hollering out at some bad guys this weekend. I'm going to throw this out there. Heels, you better beware, because Granny's going to be on the warpath. So y'all better beware, because you make me mad. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. You know, I always have to, see, that's the thing with these guys. A lot of these guys I've known for so long. I know how they think, but I still have to be one step ahead of them. And I got a really funny story to share with you guys really quick here. WFC, it was the Halloween show for Wrestling for a Cause. And my good friend, Susie Martin, she says, Granny, can I borrow your WFC Granny Hulkster shirt? She says, I want to be you for the Halloween costume contest. I mean, she went and got a gray wig. It wasn't curly hair, but it was a gray wig. And she dressed up like me for the costume contest. Well, her husband dressed up like Big Stevie Caballero. So Saturday, when I was talking to Big Stevie and Thrash, you know, before the show, Thrash asked me, he says, Granny, how'd you enjoy the Halloween show? And I said, well, you know I wasn't there. He said, well, yes, you were. I said, oh, that was my twin. I said, you know, I said, I'm really upset that I couldn't be there because I said, that would have been amazing to have two Granny Hulksters in the building the same night. And, oh, my God, Big Stevie's like, he's like, oh, my God, I don't think I could have handled two Granny Hulksters in the building the same night. I think I would have had to gotten out of the business for sure. But the funny thing was, guys, everybody that saw my friend Susie from a distance, they all thought it was me.
Wow.
And it wasn't. So, you know, I mean, it was just like, I know, there's only one of Granny, you know, out there, you know, and everything, but it was kind of funny that she wanted to dress up like me for the Halloween costume contest, you know, so it was fun. So like I said, all I can say is, Heels, you better beware, because Grant, you throw something at me, and I'm not literally saying literally throwing something at me. You throw something out there at me, words, whatever, you better be prepared for a comeback, because I always have to be one or two steps ahead of these guys, because I never know what they're going to say to me or what they're going to do.
Yeah, man, I tell you, Granny, you sound so good right now, so I can tell you're good and fired up about getting out here to the wrestling and everything. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it brings up a good point that when things are kind of ruffling your feathers and you're having some turbulent air over a certain period of time, going to the thing that one of the things you love the most, whether it's watching a movie like we were speaking of, or going to your wrestling, or like myself, just going down to Myrtle Beach. It is therapeutic. And, you know, that's a good piece of advice. If you're ever having a tough time, think about what you love the most. Think about what you enjoy the most. And go find it. Get in it. And find that happy place. But yeah, definitely good to hear things turning around for you. I know you've had a rough couple weeks, Granny, so definitely appreciate you joining us this evening. And I am going to be proudly wearing
my Queen of TCW Granny Hulkster shirt, because when Bobby was alive, when TCW was running, he was a big part of traditional championship wrestling. So in memory of Bobby, in honor of Bobby's tribute show, Granny is going to be wearing the Queen of TCW Granny Hulkster shirt, because I was Queen of TCW. When TCW ran, I was Queen of that organization for sure.
Excellent, man. I think you're going to have to put some pics out there. You know the old rule, it didn't happen unless we get pics.
So oh yeah, I know. So I'm gonna try to get some pictures of me with my good friend Brian Thompson, because you know Brian Thompson and I. Oh my goodness! Over the years of TCW, you know, he would give me grief, I would give it right back, you know, and we were at a show in Nashville, Tennessee at the fairgrounds, because they opened for the Tennessee State Fair. And of course, John Saxon, he was a wrestler for TCW, and he always called it his knucklehead section. So I had the poster and everything made up about John Saxon. And Brian Thompson made the comment, he says, I'm surprised Granny even knows how to spell the word knucklehead. You know, just kind of just little random, you know, little things out there, you know,
And then when Tommy Dreamer used my cane on Matt Riviera, he's like, Granny, this isn't fans, bring your own weapons match.
You slipping the cane, you know, Granny. You're a heel at heart. Come on.
No, I'm not.
You're
a heel.
You slipped in the cane.
Stro,
you know
no,
you did.
Don't even. You are my friend, Stro, but don't even go there, okay? Do not even.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know you're a heel. You're in
no,
denial,
I'm not
but
a heel.
I know you're a heel.
I'm not a heel, dear. I'm not a whole. Oh, you know. Now, my son today, my son got in the car today because I gave my son a ride to Walmart so he could go get some groceries. And he plugged his charger cord into his phone to charge up his phone, and he was playing some music on, you know, from his phone. And Stro, I'm not even. I bet you can guess the song. That the first song that he started playing, I bet you can guess it.
Your anthem?
No. Just stop and think for a minute. What song when you're thinking the word heel, which I'm not. Stop and think for a minute because you always play that song when I call into your show sometimes.
Oh, I've got to make you feel welcome, Granny.
Yeah, but guess what song it was, guys?
Was it
Jimi Hendrix Voodoo Child?
Yep.
Jimi Hendrix Voodoo Child, you know, from the Hulk Hogan scene from the NWO. That was the first song he played.
Break
this
out
morning.
A mean air guitar, Granny. When you listen to that song.
But anyway, but I love you guys, and I hope everybody has a great rest of the week.
Absolutely.
Hey, that's okay. You know what? We're going to quit calling you Stiletto, or Granny, and call you Stiletto from now on.
No.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Well, Granny, it was definitely good to have you aboard this evening, and I look forward to some picks coming in from your wrestling events this weekend. Go out there and whoop it up. Have you a blast, you know.
I plan on
so, speaking of having a blast, Tim, what do you have planned for the rest of the week? What kind of things you want to throw out there?
You know what? I don't have much of a plug at all. It's going to be just the usual. Concluding the work week, obviously taking some leave next week. It'll be so looking forward to that. I kind of like this time of year simply because of all the leave I get to take or have to take, really. They don't like us to lose our leave. So if we don't use it, we lose it. So I've got some of that that I got to burn up. But
cool.
Other than that, I'm kind of freaking out. I might wake up with Alexa staring at me or something up in my bedroom, somehow in my bed or on my pillow. So
I can picture you spending the weekend in a dark room with Alexa under a damn desk lamp, and you're just asking Alexa, you know, you're interrogating the hell out of it. The only thing you got to remember to say, Alexa, before you ask anything. That's my problem. I'll get all drill sergeant on and off. Alexa, what kind of weather are we going to have today? Oh, today there is and it always says 51% chance of rain, and we'll go into barometric pressure, and then you'll hear me going, all right, shut up, enough. And it keeps right on talking, like, God damn it, Alexa, shut up.
Yeah. Have you ever had it come on when there's just a commercial on TV and somebody says it or something similar, and then all of a sudden Alexa will start barking out a price at you? It's like, what the hell?
Yes. Well, there was a South Park episode about Alexas where they kept shouting random things in the dialogue of the show, and people's Alexas where Cartman said something about add titty chips to the grocery list or something like that, and people had titty chips or whatever titty chip is. But, yeah, those things are a trip. So have fun interrogating yours. I'm curious to see what you come up with. But definitely appreciate you joining us this evening. Always good to have you aboard, brother. Very much obliged.
Thank you, sir.
And last but certainly not least, my good brother, Todd. What kind of parting shots you got?
I'm going to drop back to the standard thing. Before I do that, again, a reminder, happy 23rd anniversary.
Thank you.
Well, most definitely.
David Dale, just saying. All right, group, be safe. Stay smart. I know in a way those of us that haven't been hit by this, we tend to feel a bit cocky. But you know what? Remember the basic functional being sanitary type stuff, that same thing that, you know, you didn't necessarily do as a kid growing up, but you yell at your kids to do. You know, lead by example with that stuff. Launder your hands, that kind of stuff, you know, on a regular basis, do that stuff. But stay smart, stay safe, take care of yourselves, your family, and one another. Big hugs, Dave.
Absolutely. Well said. Appreciate you joining us this evening very much. Hope everything is going well on your end and you're getting some rest. I know you've been working your ass off of late. Not that you ever did in the first place, of course, but I mean, I know it's been a little more demanding than the norm of here late, so hoping you're able to get some rest and perhaps enjoy the upcoming holiday and everything, despite the demands that work will put on you this time of year. So, yeah, definitely appreciate you joining us this evening. And for myself, just a repeat of earlier, I just want to thank my lovely wife, Dale, for dealing with me for 26 years and
happy
being married to me. Thank you. Being married for 23, and, you know, it's kind of alien to me because, you know, my folks, they've been together 52 years. It'll be 53 years for them in March. And it's amazing when you tell people, you know, we were going around today talking about how we've been married for 23 years, and for me, it's a drop in the bucket. But then when you say 23 years, people are just like, wow. Holy smokes, jeez. And I'm thinking, God, you know, 23 years. But on the flip side, if you look at the way things go now, 23 years is remarkable. There's a lot of stuff out there that can pull you away from what really counts. And so, you know, the parting shot is, much like Todd says, try to look out for one another. Don't make it always about yourself, especially when you're married. Sometimes you got to give, sometimes you got to take. But whatever you do, it never stops being work. And when I say that, that's not a negative thing. You always have to work on a marriage. It's like owning a house. You always have to work on it. And the little things you do, you know, take for instance, you know, going down to Myrtle Beach. Me, I wanted to party my ass off. My wife wanted to shop. And I know that she's been under a lot of pressure at work lately. So you know what I did? I drove her to wherever the hell she wanted to go. And I held the bags. And I just let her do her thing. And I think a lot of times when it comes down to marriage, folks don't put themselves second place and always concentrate on themselves versus concentrate on the them. And so, yeah, when it comes down to it, definitely takes two. It definitely takes work. And I sure do appreciate Dale putting up with me all those years when I wasn't quite myself, trying to work 80-hour weeks and raise a family and everything else. So she is gorgeous. She is wonderful. And I'll take the good. I'll take the bad. I'll take whatever. And definitely appreciate her sticking around for all this time with me. So with that being said, I've got a little bit left on this cigar, but nevertheless, I am going to ease in, take one more drag. Because we don't smoke cigars in the house, at least ways when Dale's home. And go in here and cue in that salty British lady. Okay. Hey. Got to call the British lady. So she can end the show. Oh, you just got ninja'd. We got this. We got the dog's squeaky ninja for a toy a couple weeks back. And I'll be damned if this ninja doesn't turn up. And whenever you're walking in the house, I don't care where you're walking, this ninja turns up and you step on it. I think the ninja's possessed and is an actual ninja. And he's just stunt doubling as a dog toy.
Trilogy of Terror.
I think he's hooked up with Alexa, to be honest with you. They're collecting data on my ass. Nevertheless, we will put an end. We will euthanize another show, if you will. We appreciate everybody joining us and listening in. And as per my panel, my brother Todd and Tim, my brother Stro, and the wonderful Granny Hulkster, appreciate you all joining me this evening. And we will see you all next week here at Pop Culture Stars. Y'all take care. Be safe.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Later, all.
Good night, all.
And British lady.